Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at our phone here at 646-716-4893, or you could email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my co-host for the evening, Dr. Brian Hooper, I just want to make a few announcements that if you're not receiving my monthly newsletters, and you would like to get them to help give you the support you're looking for, just drop me a line at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be happy to put you on there, on the list. Also, in the next week or two, we'll be announcing our upcoming Healing Weekend located in Houston, Texas. And I know that the Texas ladies are really dynamic and very hospitable. You talk about Southern hospitality, that's where you're going to find it. And I'll be starting to put up the details in my next newsletter and on my website at gayhusbands.com. I know that when people come to the Healing Weekend, you know, they're really looking for getting that support and getting to know other women who have traveled their journey to share their stories and to validate their feelings, and that's what the whole point of a Healing Weekend is. So we'll be announcing the next upcoming one very shortly. Also, we have our wonderful support group for adult children of gay fathers. If you have adult children or late teenage children that need to find support on the many issues that they're dealing with, please let me know, and I'll be happy to hook them into the support system that we have. So I also want to say that we have our UK chat that's on Mondays. So if you're in, you know, the United States and you can't get to our evening support chats, you're welcome to come to our day chat, which is at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, because it's 8:30 in the UK time. And I think that's about the announcements I have for now, because I really want to introduce my co-host for tonight, Dr. Brian Hooper. And whenever we have this particular doctor in the house, I know I always feel better. So welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's a pleasure to be with you once again.
You're always so calming and so soothing to all of our women and to the men who listen to you. So I really do appreciate your being a regular on the show once a month, the last Sunday of the month. This month, I feel like I really hit the jackpot because you were on twice in a month due to our Healing Weekend.
How did you get me to do that?
Well, normally you would have been on the last weekend of September when we had the Healing Weekend. And I didn't want to have to go a whole month without hearing from you. It was too much. It would have been 2 months. So I twisted your arm, and you agreed to do it.
I feel
whenever you have a healing voice that you can put out to people, get that guy and bring him in. And that's how
happy
you
to be
it.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yeah, I had a busy but filling week, and grateful to be able to help a number of people this week, and looking forward to doing whatever I can to help the wonderful women that listen to your program and to encourage you, my friend, for all the good work you're doing. It's appreciated.
Thank you so much, Brian. This was a really difficult week for me because, you know, every time I feel like I'm trying to spread light throughout the world, I always feel like there's these dark forces that are working against me. And I just feel that for some women who are looking to move ahead, there are other groups out there that are just keep pushing them back and confusing them and making them feel that there's hope when there's really no hope out there at all. And there's a lot of these snake charmers, you know, you pay the money or you put out feelers there and they find you and grab you. And you and I spoke during the week about a few of these situations where women are just so desperate to hang on to their marriages that they'll look for any help out there. And there are groups online that really try to foster these marriages, you know, for people to go and, you know, stay in them. And it's really sad to me that women who are just starting out on their journeys, and men also, you know, who know who they are and they want to move on, but they're stopped by these groups who keep saying, well, in spite of the fact that you're married and in spite of the fact that you're gay, you can make this work if only make a few little adjustments in your life. And for the men, the little adjustment is, don't be gay. And for the woman, the adjustment is, okay, so he's gay, you're going to have to live with it. I mean, I just don't get this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think it's at all really helpful, and it does, just as you say, slow down the process, and it's very confusing, you know, especially when people are really trying to do what they believe is the right thing to do. They want to do the right thing. They're not taking this in a flippant way, and then they get seeds planted that, well, they're not doing their full duty unless they try to hang in there and make it work one more time.
Uh-huh.
And if we can help those folks simply get on with their lives and do that in the most loving way possible for all parties involved, then I think we will have contributed something of healing to the whole world, not just their in personal worlds, but to all the folks that surround them as well.
Well, let's go to a topic that just seems to keep coming up over and over again. And that's
okay.
The topic of men being gay because they were abused in childhood. Because this seems to be like such a common theme that, you know, women feel this need, or this, you know, that now all of a sudden they feel they need to stay. Because it wasn't that their husbands were born gay. They were abused when they were younger, which made them react to gay behavior. I'm not quite sure exactly how that connects, but... And because of that, now they feel they have to stay in that marriage because it's not a matter that their husbands were born gay, sick. They became sick after this, you know, abuse, and now they have to stay with them because they have to help them heal. And I see a lot of this going on, and it really makes me sick. So what are your thoughts on that, Brian? Let's rediscuss that again.
You know, and I'm happy to do that. It helps bring some clarity to folks. I'm happy to do that. So a couple of ideas there. All of the indications that we have so far with regard to the research indicates, doesn't prove, but indicates that people are born either straight or gay. Okay? And so that the idea that something that happens after birth makes a person gay, I think is a false idea. Now, there are straight people and there are gay people who are molested in childhood, and molestation in and of itself is very confusing for people, and sometimes they will go back and engage in repetitive actions in abusive situations to try to deal with that. But what I would point out is that what they're really trying to deal with is the abuse, not trying to go back and, you know, turn a gay person straight when they're doing that. Sometimes straight, you know, women who are abused by men will end up in abusive relationships because they're trying to, you know, fix what went wrong by mastering it somehow. But again, if a gay man is going back and getting involved in abusive relationships, it doesn't mean that that original abuse made him gay. He's just trying to deal with the abuse in an unhelpful kind of way. Does that make sense, Bonnie?
Not exactly. I mean, not because you don't make sense. The whole thing to me doesn't make any sense.
Okay,
and,
but my explanation. I don't believe that the original abuse turns a straight male child into a gay
Exactly. Because look how many straight men have been sexually abused. They don't go back to look for gay behavior.
Right.
Correct?
That's exactly right. And I'm thinking of one of my clients who had multiple anonymous kind of encounters with other men, many of which are rather, you know, rough and abusive kind of encounters. But that mimicked some of what he had been through as a child. But once he left the marriage he was in, accepted the fact he was gay, he's no longer doing that sort of thing. He's been able to integrate the fact that he is a gay man and is choosing to be in a much more healthy, kind relationship with one person, you know, moving on with his life. So, you know, and he had those doubts. He had wondered. And I said, well, you tell me, what's been your attraction? He says, well, it's been, you know, towards other men my whole life. I said, well, there you have it. It doesn't make you gay.
It's also like that theory that, of course, I heard this many years ago with Richard Cohen, who has a book that he wrote at the same time my first book came out called Coming Out Straight, and where he came up with that theory that was condemned by the whole counseling community, and he was kind of excommunicated from the real counseling community, where the reason why you have these, you know, feelings towards men is because you didn't have a strong relationship with your father. You know, and I guess he was basing it on his father.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've heard that theory before, right?
Yeah, and that's it's nothing new. It comes from, you know, a segment of the psychoanalytic community. But it's really been demonstrated to not be valid because there are plenty of men who have had passive fathers and very strong, even domineering mothers, and, you know, they're straight. So you can't account, again, you can't account for a person being gay based on that.
No, I mean, to me, that's a very ridiculous argument. And his was based on the fact that if you didn't have a strong love relationship with your father, that wanting to be accepted by your father makes you have strong feelings towards men, which equates into being gay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just never quite got that.
Yeah.
But I know that people are also feeding that into people.
You know, my father, God bless him, he's now 89, and you know, I just saw him today, and Bonnie, from the time before I can even remember, he was a kind, affectionate man, and I have had a close bond with my dad throughout my entire life. No unspoken, no unfinished business with my father. So here's an example. I'm a gay man. I've known that from the earliest inklings forward, and my father's never been absent from my life. He's always been an affectionate, strong person in my life. So, you know, I'm a case example of that theory just not adding up.
I know, and like I say, you can come up with so many theories of what made someone gay, of how you became gay, and, you know, I think that between the both of us, we've probably heard every one of them. But the bottom line is that, does it really matter? I mean, to me, if a person is gay, then why can't you just learn to accept that and stop trying to change him? Or hoping that if you love him enough, that's going to be the cure for this, where this is not a disease to be cured.
Thank you, because what that does is pathologizes a naturally occurring phenomenon, not only in the human community, but throughout the entire animal community. We find examples where the same-sex attraction behavior is there in various examples in the animal kingdom. So it's not just what humans do. We see it everywhere. It's a certain proportion that we see in various species.
And what
so
about, have you heard about the theory on repetition compulsion?
Well, that's what I was mentioning earlier, the idea that a man goes back, if he's been sexually abused as a child, the idea is that he goes back, continues to engage in abusive relationships with other men, trying to undo his homosexuality. And what I would say is, no, what he's going back and doing is trying to undo and master the abuse that he received, not his inherent sexuality. And the example I gave on the other side is women who have been raped or otherwise sexually abused as children, they're still attracted to men, not women, And they sometimes go back and they get involved with abusive men to try to undo that abuse that they had, trying to master it, gain some control over it. And what they need to do is just, you know, let go of the being involved in abusive relationships and accept who they are and find somebody who is worthy of their love. And the same thing for gay men who have been abused. They need to let go of needing to master that issue by getting involved in abusive relationships and simply accept the fact that they're gay and begin to love themselves enough that they believe that they're worthy of being treated with love and respect by another man.
Although I do think it's possible, Brian, that for the women, I can't speak on behalf of the men, that when you've grown up being sexually abused, that a lot of times when you do find an abusive relationship later in life, may not be so much to resolve issues like this, and maybe because you have such low self-esteem that you don't feel that you deserve anything better than this.
No, I would agree that that's part of what's playing in the background, is mm-hmm. that maybe this is all that I deserve, right? Yeah.
I know, because it's really interesting when we get together as a group with our women, and even if it's in our chat room or, you know, just in informal conversations at our gatherings, and we look at the statistics of women who came from abusive households mm-hmm. or dysfunctional households, although today I don't know too much that's functional. But when I'm talking about dysfunctional, I don't mean just a divorce. I mean, for instance, where there's really mental health issues, drug issues, alcohol issues, physical abuse, all kinds of sociopathic behaviors in parents, which, you know, a lot of our women come from really mental health backgrounds in their family, that they're just looking for an escape, and anyone who shows them kindness, I mean, that becomes the out for them. You know, that mm-hmm. makes them feel as if all of a sudden that life is, you know, on their side and worthwhile. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter that they really believe that, you know, this person has to be better for them than what they have. Mm-hmm. And so they're, you know, but if they felt good about themselves, you know, then they probably would not have gotten into these situations to start with. Because right. I think that a lot of times our women sense that something's not 100% right. I'm not saying all women, but I would say, you know, more than half, that something's not exactly right when they're going with their, you know, gay husbands in the beginning, but they feel that whatever it is, you know, they don't know it's homosexuality, they just know something's not quite right. But whatever it is, they'll be able to, you know, it's better than what they had.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they settle, and they don't even, at the moment, they're probably not even aware that they are settling.
Right, I think at the moment they're feeling like they're escaping more than settling.
Right.
And I think that when you have low self-esteem, it's common.
Yeah, so let's just pause right there and say, you know, to those women who are listening and who are on with their lives, you know, this time don't settle. If there's anything intuitively you're picking up on, and it doesn't have to be the thought that the man might be gay, but anything else that just doesn't add up, that doesn't feel right, hold off. You're worth taking care of yourselves. Hold off. Make sure it's right before you go forward.
And I think that's really good advice, you know, as far as your future is concerned. And first, you have to heal yourself before
right.
you're ever ready to get involved with somebody again because, you know, women are so vulnerable. You know, I have a friend who is an older woman, is lonely. And, you know, she's really, like I say, it has nothing to do with straight and gay. This is the nature of women. And she met someone online now who's, you know, feeding her a whole line, how wonderful, beautiful, exciting she is. You know, and he's 25 years younger than her, and she's so excited. And I say, this is such a red flag. I said, you know, did you check him out? Did you see who he is? You know, there's so many predators out there that
there are
looking for vulnerable women.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that if you don't heal yourself and feel strong about yourself, you're going to fall into these traps again and again.
That's right. So let me give just a little exercise I give with my clients. I give this to both straight clients and to gay clients. Okay.
Okay.
And the first premise is The first premise is you're not ready to be with somebody until you can be alone with yourself and be okay with that. Until you can be okay with yourself. Doesn't mean that you don't want someone else. Sure, you may want to be with somebody else, but you can be with yourself and be content, be okay. So make sure you can do that. But to get there, here's what I suggest people do, straight and gay. Make a list of what you want in somebody else, the kind of behavior you want from somebody else. Make a list of those things. And then ask, how many of those things can you do for yourself? You know, and begin to be that person to you. And it sounds kind of paradoxical, but you need to be able to enjoy your own company. So, you know, you can enjoy a movie without having a date going to the movie with you. If you decide, I'm going to go to this movie, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to enjoy it. And begin to do those things that nurture your own interior life and take care of yourself. Build a relationship with yourself first, so that you are loving yourself and you're discerning about the kind of person that you might be approached by. Are they going to treat you as well as you've learned to treat yourself? If they're not going to do that, you don't need them in your life.
No, and I think that if you don't get that, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, women are so afraid about, well, my next guy's going to be gay, you know, because you go through this whole gay thing after you have a gay husband. Where you think you don't have radar, as they call it, and, you know, you suspect every man. You know, gay is going to be the issue. Being a predator is going to be the issue. You know, there's so many straight predators. It has nothing to do with gay. It has to do with men who are, you know, looking for women who are weak.
Right.
Am I right?
Right. Oh, yeah, and for numerous things to get from them, you know, including money in some cases. The whole online thing, I'm not against it. All I'm saying is you got to be very, very careful and take proper precautions and, you know, do the background check kind of things. Don't just take their word for it.
It's
be
like,
very,
you know,
careful.
Donna Anderson from Love Fraud, who comes on our show, you know, a few times a year, you know, she was really destroyed by some guy, you know, out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, she tells her story all over. And she started her organization, Love Fraud. And it's so true. You know, women are just, by nature, I think, loving and caring.
Yeah.
And guys
trust.
Know this.
Yeah, and trusting.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you think that you've met somebody and you're over the moon over that person, check it out with another person that's level-headed, you know. I encourage the ladies to, you know, share their experience with somebody else so that they have sort of a reality check on what they're getting themselves involved in. I'll tell you, this isn't about a woman, but I think it illustrates it well. There was a man I was seeing in counseling, straight man. Interestingly enough, he had been sexually abused as a child by male, but never doubted for a moment that he was straight, and just a really nice guy. And he met somebody online, flew a distance to meet her in another state, and a woman met him at the airport, and he said, looked nothing like the woman that, you know, he had connected with online and pictures of. And the woman who met him said, yeah, she was a good friend of hers, that some issue came up that she wasn't able to meet him at the airport and had sent this friend who wasn't what he was looking for to pick him up. Well, the long story short, it was an entire fraud, and the woman who had picked him up had hoped that in meeting her, he would fall in love with her, but she wasn't anything like the description he'd met online. Well, men can do the same thing to women as well. So, you know, you just really have to be careful. And this was a bright person.
I know, and that's why in my book, Man Readers, A Women's Guide to Dysfunctional Men, I do have a list of things that every woman should do before she gets that involved. You know, there are ways you can check out men. There are ways you can find out if they're, you know, they have police records, criminal, you know, things they're leaving out that you need to know before you start getting involved. And, you know, if we were thinking with our heads instead of our hearts, you know, women would end up further ahead, right?
And I would encourage them, don't feel the least bit guilty or ashamed of doing that check. Do it. It's the right thing to do to take care of yourself. I mean, I think there's some people who they feel a little guilty doing that kind of thing, and they shouldn't, not in this day and age.
Oh, no. You have to really protect yourself. And I always tell women, I have a friend last week who went to meet a guy, and I said to her, tell him you want to see his driver's license. And she said, well, how can I tell him that? I said, very simply, tell him, you know, you just, you know, this is a standard with you. You want to make sure the people are who they say they are. Yeah. I mean, I had that situation for myself one time a number of years ago. I started going out with a guy who I thought he was somebody because that's who he told me who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left his wallet one night, you know, and he was sleeping, and I looked in his wallet just because I had some suspicion something was off. He was a totally different guy. So that's a lesson. I want to see your ID. And I think if a guy is offended by that, well, then he has issues.
That's right.
Do you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. It's this. I give gay men the same kind of suggestion when I say, okay, you begin to date somebody, you not only have the talk about HIV and STDs, if you're really interested in this person, you want to get them to know them better, then you both go together and you get tested at the same time and you get your results at the same time. So you have proof of this person's status. And just consider it a mutual gift that you're giving to each other. And if a person has a problem with that, then you don't need to be with them.
It's the same thing I tell women, Brian. I know it's scary when I tell you this. I find it hard to believe. Some women, after they find out that their husbands have been involved in relationships, sexual liaisons with men, they're still having unprotected sex because they want their husbands not to feel they don't trust them. They haven't been tested. And I say to them, are you using protection? Well, no, but why aren't you? I don't want him to be mad. I don't want him to think that I don't trust him. I don't want to lose him. You know, and I just feel so, you know, defeated when I hear women say that even when
that's
they
so
know
hard.
They're out having sex, they're still not protecting themselves. And then they'll say to me, well, he swears it's only, you know, oral sex, and you can't get anything that way. So how do you answer them, Brian?
Well, you know, I would. It's a little too complicated to get in here, but I would want to know from any one of them. I would be concerned about their own sense of self-esteem that exposes them to that level of risk.
Uh-huh.
I would really encourage them, no, you don't continue to have unprotected sex with somebody who's proven themselves untrustworthy. You know, part of the marriage vows have to do with exclusivity, and this person has made it clear that he's not exclusive. So you can't trust him. You need to take care of yourself. And as for not getting anything just through oral sex, it's simply not true. HIV can be contracted through oral sex. So they really need to become informed. And it's very easy to do. Go to the Centers for Disease Control online, and they give you some very clear guidelines to protect yourself and what to look for. Follow those guidelines.
Well, even more importantly, you know, if your husband, you finally find out that he's been outside the marriage and you haven't, and he hasn't been honest with you, you know, you can't believe everything he's telling you.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell you the worst of what's going on.
No, that's right. That's right.
Right?
And Frank, and I have to wonder why work on staying with a man who's let you know that he's been with other men? I mean, it's one thing if he's been with other women. Okay, men have affairs. I understand that. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's expected, but it does happen. And people you know, who have had affairs, they can repair those relationships. But when a man has switched categories altogether, I would think the lady's done. Done.
Well, you know I'll tell you something that really disturbed me this week on that subject.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard from someone who gave some reasons why she's staying in a marriage.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of them was because, look, you know, when I got married, I took a vow. And the vow was that, you know, you'll love each other, blah, 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 for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. And she says, you know, when you take a vow before God for better or worse, then that means for better or worse. It's a vow. All
mm-hmm.
right, so how do you respond to that, first of all?
Well, you know, when I engage in a contract, that contract is valid. But if it's been a bait and switch, if I've been promised one thing and I'm paying for something else that's not being delivered, then that contract is null and void. Did she sign up to marry a man who was conflicted about his sexuality? Did she sign up to marry a man who was bisexual? Or did she sign up to marry a straight man?
Right. I don't think better or worse was referring to that, right?
I don't think so.
And then, you know, another thing from another woman who I was working with this week, she came out and she said, well, she needs to be a role model to her children to show them that, you know, there are always going to be problems in your marriage, that you can't run away from problems, and that's not what marriage is about, that when you make a promise and you make a commitment, you know, you have to stick by this, and that, you know, you have to learn to deal with the problems as they, but this is not that kind of problem. Right?
Well, I would be... No, I agree with you. This is not that kind of problem. And the other thing, I would be wondering, is she teaching her daughter that she should stick around for abuse?
Exactly.
I mean, I would hope not. That's what I'm afraid the take-home message would be. Well, if you're getting yourself in a situation that's abusive, but you made a promise, then you have to stay in an abusive situation. And I don't think that that's very good advice myself.
No, and that's what I don't understand, where women can't see this, but I personally think that they're being more selfish about themselves, and I really do believe that it's easier just to, when you don't want to change anything, to look to make excuses for it, and I think a lot of women are afraid of losing what they have, and believe me, I understand that, and I'm not saying you have to not make big adjustments when a marriage is over. I mean, we see this all the time. And
of course.
You know, some of our women really lose a lot as far as financial value. But you can never replace financial... I mean, this is my opinion. You can never replace peace of mind with financial value. That
right.
Women who have to live walking on eggshells or being depressed or being unhappy because, you know, they're in a situation that they think they can't make it on their own, you know, they have to look for a way out. I'm not saying it happens today or tomorrow, but there's always a way out. You know, I one time had a wonderful woman in my support network. Unfortunately, she passed away about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And she was, you know, she was in my support chat. And she was, you know, very sickly. She was in a wheelchair, you know, and she just felt that, you know, she was very dependent on other, you know, on her husband. But she got to the point where, you know, he was openly seeing his boyfriend. You know, he would come home and do her shopping and do what he needed to do because, you know, they were married. But then he would leave and go with his boyfriend. And she said, you know that I'm alone. I don't have children in the area. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm not independent. I can't bathe myself. I can't do any of those things. She said, I don't have a way to make an income. She said, I'm getting Social Security, disability. But, you know, she didn't have a lot to live on, maybe $700-$800 a month. And she said, no matter what it takes, she says, no matter how bad it is, I have to get out of this marriage. I can't live with this kind of emotional abuse because it just makes me sicker. And my heart went out to her because I thought, you know what, this is really a profile in courage. I mean, here's somebody who could just hang on, has a financial security, and even if her husband wasn't happy with it, you know, he felt guilty so he would stay around and help her. But she said, I don't want to have to live that way. And she moved on, and, you know, he left. Right. And unfortunately, right. she did pass away, not because of that issue. You know, she lived another year and a half or two. But she had so many, you know, complications. But I thought, you know what? Nobody says you have to get out this minute. And nobody says that you have to do it alone. But there's a lot of support out there. And I know it's scary. You know, I was so scared when my marriage ended and I had nothing. And I had to go on welfare for 3 years. I had no education. I had a GED. I had a sick baby, you know. But, you know, the thought of having to live in a situation where you're miserable, I was just too selfish to do that. You know, so I just don't understand why women don't feel they deserve more or better or different. And there doesn't have to be immediate, you know, leaving, but you have to at least mentally start emotionally detaching and recognize that this is just never going to work. Mm-hmm. And no matter how, what your husband says to you, once you're gay, you're gay.
Yeah.
Or the problem is they don't say it. That is a problem, too. Okay, so like when they come up with, I'm not really gay, it's just that when I was abused, you know, this is causing me to have this kind of behavior. So I guess if you want to believe that, you know, I guess it's good to fall into that kind of a hole and not look at the reality.
But the problem is it's just going to get deeper and deeper, you know. Some people, I understand this, they prefer to stay stuck because they understand stuck. They know stuck. They've been in stuck for a long time, but they're still not happy in stuck. And they need to face letting that go, letting that relationship die. It's, you know, natural death. And trust that they will have life beyond that. And they need to trust themselves for that. And if they're people of faith, then they need to trust God for that as well. You know, in my tradition, you know, we often say there's no Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. There's no resurrection without a crucifixion. There's no moving on to a promised land without leaving the old Egypt behind.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes when you're out in the desert wandering to draw from that tradition, and you've got Egypt behind you, and it wasn't great, but at least you knew, you know, where your next meal was coming from, and you're out in the desert and all you got is manna, and it doesn't taste very good and you're tired of it, there's a tendency to want to go back to Egypt, but people need to hold on and keep putting one foot in front of the other until they enter the land of freedom. And I'm using that as a metaphor, regardless of what a person's religion is or isn't, because I just think it's a decent metaphor. So, you know, yeah, there's going to be a desert out there of the unknown, but that's how all adventurers come to discover new places and new life, is that they willingly walk through the desert in order to get there. They go on that adventure. And to come to ourselves, we have to go on an adventure. We have to let go of our identity as, say, a married woman and all that meant, and sometimes rediscover who they are so they can be in a healthy relationship with somebody that's worthy of their love and their devotion.
Well, I think the other thing is that sexuality is so confusing, and that, you know, women want to believe so much in love that they're willing to believe so many of these other stories when it comes about when it comes to whether they're not having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see so many men, gay men who are in marriages, coming up with all the right reasons to their wives anyway, you know, erectile dysfunction, depression, medication, blah, 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 blah. And women who just, like I say, I think the love that women have for men is sometimes different than the love that men have for women. You know, it's less sexual in nature, it's more emotional in nature. So a lot of times women are willing to settle for less. But, you know, you can make up as many excuses as you want to make up, but it's not going to change what is. And it's not going to make your husband stop acting on being gay if he's gay.
Yep,
you know, and I
right.
think that women feel they love them enough and they'll fall in love with them enough and they're not going to do anything to hurt them. But I'm more concerned. I mean, this is an idea I threw past, you know, a close friend of mine, you know, as part of my network. My concern is that there are groups out there that you and I have discussed that are like these right Christian wing kinds of groups, right-wing Christian groups, that have all these solutions to how to change homosexuality. You know, like I say, right now maybe it's not the Exodus movement, because Exodus is a little bit in the crisis, but they're like these Exodus type of movements.
Yeah,
exactly. But so they have other things to replace, and they pop up, you know, every minute. And, you know, like Center for the Gender Wellness that you sent to me to look at that over. But, you know, there's also the Joe Court theories, and, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there, you know, that can really confuse you and make you feel that, you know, there's a chance for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that, like, you know, women have to be aware that this is not mainstream thinking, and that these people are really using their vulnerability when they find out about their gay husbands,
mm-hmm.
and they're desperate to hang on to their marriages, that, you know, that these groups out there are really dangerous, because they're really going to stray you away from where you need to be by giving you their theories on how you can make things different or better. And
mm-hmm.
I really have a feeling that some of these groups are actually infiltrating some of these support groups online. And that they need to be careful when they're part of these support groups, that, you know, when you have women who are in there who are pushing for this kind of marriage, that it can work, and that if you get help from, you know, therapists, that there's a lot of help out there to help you see what's really going on. You know, I think that, do you think it's possible they could be trying to infiltrate some of these groups?
I completely believe it's possible that they could be doing that. I wouldn't be surprised by that for a minute. But what the women need to know is that the American Psychological Association, the American Pediatric Association, the American Association of Marriage Family Therapists, the Association of Clinical Social Workers all came out some time ago and took a stand saying, listen, homosexuality is not a pathology to be cured, and I think that's a very important concept. And they've taken a stance against trying to change a person's sexual orientation from gay to straight. I've lost count of the number of people that I have encountered who have been through that, only to be deeply, deeply wounded by that experience. One friend turned to alcohol and, thank God, finally got help through AA, but had become a roaring alcoholic because that's how he was medicating for his own self-loathing that engendered in him. So, you know, it's
like when you want fake hope. You know, I'm looking at this group that you sent me, and it says a statement from the American Psychological Association. So right away, they're starting off with their credibility from the APA. And it says, mm-hmm. the official explanation from the APA says there is no consensus about what causes homosexuality. But we have observed 8 predisposing factors that are common in the backgrounds of men with same-sex attraction.
Let me make a point. Here's what they do. They cite the APA, which, yes, there is no consensus. There's no proof about the origin, okay?
Uh-huh.
So they cite that, and then they go on to say what they have observed among gay men, and they're linking that in the reader's mind to the APA and to try
exactly.
to get themselves to
credibility. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. They have that in the statement from the APA, and then, but we have observed, like making it like it's the APA.
Right,
observing.
And it's not it's them, it's this group.
But here
go
you
on.
Have unhealthy childhood relations with females. I mean, to me, that is really amusing. Females can wound young boys by smothering, criticizing, controlling, and ignoring proper boundaries. Some boys who experience such wounding develop unhealthy relationships with women in adulthood, in which they either push them too far away or hold them too close.
A lot. And I would make the point, yes, a lot of straight men do that too.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Distorted concepts of gender. Unhealthy childhood relationships with females can distort a man's view of the female gender, affect how he sees himself in relation to women, damage his sense of masculinity, and prevent the natural development of the sense of genderedness. This can leave the individual without the sense of the opposite sex as a complementary and attractive. Okay. mm-hmm. about problems in relationships with other males. So either you're having trouble with males or you're having trouble with females. Either way.
Right.
You know, they're covering all their bases, right?
Right. Exactly. And so what they do is they say, well, the real issue is not that you're sexually attracted to men. The real issue is you feel inferior towards other men. So let's get you out there doing manly things with other manly men, and then you'll feel okay about who you are. Well,
no, but I like, at first I tell you it's because of women that you're this way. Now they're telling you you're with men, you're this way.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you turn?
And is it true that a lot of, you know, gay men when they were boys didn't feel like they fit in with the other straight boys? Yes, it is true. In many cases, not all, but in many cases, they weren't inclined towards the same things. It was just part of who they were.
Exactly.
Because
they're gay. I mean, you know, when you're gay, you're living in a strange world than trying to, you know, emulate it or copy it. And so you fit into it.
You know, and as a gay man and as a therapist, I'm very aware that there are various expressions of masculinity among gay men, some from on the feminine end of things and others at the hyper-masculine end of things, but all along the spectrum, they're attracted to other men emotionally and erotically. And that sort of thing is not taken, I don't see it as taken into consideration in what they're saying at all.
You know, the whole thing is, why do we feel this need to have to change people from what they are? This is what really bothers me more than anything else. Instead of trying to make people feel they're distorted, why can't we just try to make them feel they can accept themselves and not have to keep living a life that's not theirs to live? You know, I would feel very constrained if I had to keep trying to be somebody who I'm not on a daily basis.
Right.
And I could see where that would make me really depressed.
When I look at any coercive conversion tactics, be it religious or political or, you know, in this case often a combination of both religion and politics, but whenever I see anything that's coercive in trying to convert somebody from one position to another, it's almost always based on fear of what I'm going to lose, so I need to change you so I don't lose what I've got. Well, I'm here to say that a multicultural world is not one we need to fear. It just expands our horizons. It doesn't shrink my horizons.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't take something away from me to acknowledge you and what's different about you. If we gay people be gay, it's not going to turn straight people gay. You know,
right?
This is something that mystifies me about. This is the thing that mystifies me about why it is that so many straight religious folks are against gay marriage. Gay marriage is not going to turn straight marriages. It's not going to break up straight marriages.
I know. You would think they'd be really pro-gay marriage because now gay people are marrying gay people. But, you know, in this article, on this group with the gender wholeness, I thought what was interesting here also, keeping along the same lines of what you're talking about, where it says they're talking about the pro-gay, you know, kinds of media and stuff. And it says the movement has been highly effective in shifting public opinion towards acceptance of homosexuality. It can be assumed that the media has played a substantial role in their extensive and favorable portrayals of gays and lesbians. A recent Gallup poll found that 65% of young Americans today believe homosexual relations are morally acceptable. Gallup shows a steady and continual increase over many years in the acceptance of homosexual relations. Similar trends were found by this research for support of gay marriage. Many countries now permit marriage of same-sex couples. Certain basic beliefs held by the public about homosexuality have become very skewed over the past several decades. Another Gallup poll found that young Americans 18 to 29 believe, on average, that 30% of the population is gay or lesbian. The real statistic is 3.4. When asked about the causes of homosexuality, 40% of Americans say they believe it's an inborn trait. This is despite the fact that science has produced no reliable evidence to suggest homosexuality is inborn. So, you know, first of all, I think that 3.4 is a very low statistic. What do you think?
I think it's very low, too. You know, there's an old thing that I like very much, and that is that statistics don't lie, but statisticians do. And we have to be, you know, and I use statistics as well, but I try to use them in context. I seek to ask, you know, what's the N? In other words, what's the number of individuals who have been polled or cited or tested, depending on what the statistics are about? Does it take into consider multivalent kind of issues? Is it just from a college population? Or, you know, what population we're looking at? One of the things you have to be very careful about with psych statistics is they're often simply sampled from a small portion of the population, which are a freshman in college. And you know, that's a select population. That's not necessarily exemplary of the rest of society. So just, you know, you got to ask, well, what are your sources? And I don't know that they reveal what their sources are.
I know. And I think they just utilize it to their own advantage, because I think the reality is that if you're asking people on polls, that certainly I've seen polls where the number of people who identify somewhere outside the realm of non-straight, as I call it, being straight, or I call non-straight now, is far, far higher than that, whether they identify as being bisexual, homosexual, or any other kind of sexuals on that Kinsey scale of 1 to 1,000, I don't know, on the Kinsey scale or under whatever scale, that people who have thoughts that are not straight thoughts are far higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
In every kind of poll that I've read. So I like how people just take and they distort the information and they skew the information. You know, it's not like the media skewing it, they're skewing it. I think that today people are much more in touch with sexuality than they were, you know, 10, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. That today, that in the high schools, I'm not saying there's certainly not homophobia out there, but it's not the same as it was when I was growing up or you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's far more accepted, you know, where people feel it's okay, or sometimes even trendy. But, you know, they're not sitting and getting beaten up the same way they used to. I know that in my day that you would never let somebody know that you were gay. You know, there was never a nice name like gay. There was nothing happy about it. I mean, people were always ostracized and beaten up and called, you know, terrible names and persecuted terribly. And, you know, and they were doing this blatantly, where I think today it's more looked at, you know, you have hate crimes, people get punished for this kind of stuff. And I just see a greater acceptance in the schools and colleges. I know my nephew is gay, and he's very much out there and open about who he is and proud of what he is and involved in all different aspects of the gay community, where, you know, maybe 10 years ago he may not have felt that way, but today, you know, he's very open about it. Do you feel that attitudes are changing in younger people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know that in the college age crowd, it's much more accepting, and it depends on which college and that sort of thing, but by and large, yes, much more accepting among the younger people. They're really given a thought. They're not freaked out by it. You know, they're straight guys have gay male friends and, you know, don't think anything about it. That, you know, and they don't worry about them hitting on them because they know their gay friends or have got their own boyfriends or their own interests. So they're just be friends.
And I think that's changed a lot also. Where before, like, you know, with our older generation, I always say, well, if your husband has gay friends, you have to really wonder about it. And I still say that. But I think with the younger generation, where it's so much more open that, you know, it's not, you know, I don't think that, you know, most straight guys are going to go into gay bars, but I don't feel that they, you know, run away as quickly when you have a gay friend or you have, you know, a group of people where somebody's gay. It's much more accepted. You know,
right,
it's on
right.
television
so
a lot, that, and, you know, it's in the movies
so
a lot.
There's no longer the sense of, you know, I'm gay by association just because, you know, I have a friend
exactly.
that's gay.
Because
exactly. The shame is being taken away from it. The idea that gay people need to live in shame and that you've got to remove yourself from being around them so that you don't have to have shame. I mean, thank God that's beginning to go away. It's still with us, but it's beginning to go away.
Yes, and I think that as time goes on, and that's why I'm so pro-gay marriage. I think that, you know, once that's accepted, look, you're always going to have some kind of phobia for people. You know, people
uh-huh.
are always going to look to pick on somebody. And certainly
uh-huh.
gay people are going to have their share of, you know, hatred towards them. Just like I always say, being Jewish, you can always expect to have anti-Semitism. It's just the nature of people want to pick on other people.
Yeah.
They're always looking for a scapegoat. So people
yeah.
who are vulnerable are excellent scapegoats, or minorities, you know, black people, Latino people, you know, people who want to hate. You know, just find a way to do it and to find on, you know, find reasons to do it. But overall,
right.
I've seen in my lifetime things that I never thought I would see as far as having gay politicians, as far as having gay marriage, as far as having lesbian and the gay, you know, parades where people don't sit and throw things at you while you're running down the street. I mean, I think there's been so much more as far as acceptance and understanding. And yes, it does have a long way to go. And until it's really totally where it needs to be, you're always going to have people running away from it. I mean, I think it really was interesting because I'm a very big fan of the show Glee. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But they deal with a lot of sexual issues on that show, gay issues. And
okay.
now they have somebody on there who's transgender. But a couple of years ago, they had a storyline that was really good of this big football player on the team who was very homophobic, always picking on, you know, with the gay character who was in the show, always really, you know, bullying him. And it ends up that he was gay and running away from who he was and is so afraid that somebody would find out. And I think that, you know, showing this kind of, you know, human side of what it's like to be fighting who you are really helps people in coming to terms with it. And I don't think it'll ever be perfect, but I think it's getting better. What do you think?
I think it's getting better. Yeah, it's getting better.
Like, you don't have to be afraid when you go somewhere of people finding out, right?
Not in the city. There are some places beyond the city limits I would be careful, you know?
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
but
not in the big
towns,
right?
Within the larger area of Nashville.
Uh-huh.
I'm not afraid. No. But
well,
I
still feel the same way about being Jewish, Brian. There are parts of this country I would never feel walk into wearing a Jewish star because I know the people are just very prejudiced.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But at least we know where we can go, right?
That's right. That's right. And
where before you can go anywhere.
Have to remain a bit vigilant, no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm. So our message for tonight and wrapping up is, what is our main message here, Brian?
You know, I think it's keep your eyes open, take care of your own parts, be the best friend to yourself that you want some other man to be to you. Don't deny your intuition when it tells you the truth. Listen to it. And never be ashamed to ask for references, you know? Do your diligence and don't let anyone intimidate you. How's that?
And I think those are all wonderful messages. And I was going to ask you ahead of time, I'll put you on the spot, when you come back, you know, at the end of the month, maybe what I'd really like for you to do, it's holiday time, which is our roughest time of year for our women, who, when it's family celebrations, maybe you can come up with some really good tips on how to make the season a little brighter.
I got some good ones already.
Okay, great. So at the end of this month, the last weekend of November, right after Thanksgiving, Brian will be back. and he'll be there giving you tips on how to get through the next couple of months. I always say it's from Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day that women really feel beat up. So Brian will come back with some really good tips on how to make that better for you. So Brian, I want to thank you.
Find
yeah,
me.
Go ahead.
Tell them how they can find me if they need to
yes,
connect.
I'm
going to
do that now. You would like to, first of all, the wonderful thing about Brian is that he does wonderful counseling for men who are in the, have issues with coming out. So if you have husbands who need counseling, for women, just knowing how to feel better about yourself and that you're on the right path, for families, and you don't have to be in Tennessee to see Brian because he does counseling through Skype or by telephone, by phone too, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, so you can be anywhere in the world and still get the best of services as far as counseling is concerned. You can go to Brian's website, and you can give them the website.
It's www.drbrian.com.
And if you can't remember that, you can just go to gayhusbands.com, look on the right-hand side for my links, and you'll see Brian's link right there on the top. And feel free, if you need help, you know, please get in touch with Brian. He'll be more than happy to work something out with you. So that's our message for the month, with having Dr. Hooper here two times in 1 month. How lucky can a girl get? I feel really lucky, Brian. Thank you so much.
I'm fortunate to be linked up with you. Thank you.
All right. Well, to all our listeners, have a wonderful week. And know that, you know, take care of yourself and be good to you. And we'll be back here next week on the Straight Wives Talk Show. Good night, Brian. I love you.
Love you, too. Good night, Bonnie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.